Welcome to episode 120 of George's Random Astronomical Object. This podcast series is now one-third of the way to making a complete 360. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes the object so interesting to astronomers. So let's now run the random number generator. And the coordinates for this episode are 6 hours, 59 minutes, 48.2 seconds right ascension, and plus 14 degrees, 14 minutes, 19 seconds declination. These coordinates point to the center of a giant supernova remnant relatively close to Earth called the Monogem Ring. This object gets its name from the constellations Monoceros and Gemini in which it is located, although it also covers at least part of the constellation Canis Minor. While it was clever to combine the first syllables of Monoceros and Gemini to create the name of this object, it's a little disappointing that they did not get the first syllable of Canis Minor into the name. Also, just to make things interesting, the musician Jen Hirsch adopted the stage name Monogem after the name of the Monogem Ring. Anyhow, the ring is actually the outer edges of a giant sphere of gas that, as seen from Earth, is 25 degrees across, or about 50 times the diameter of the moon, or about 1/7 the diameter of the half of the sky that is visible above the horizon at any given time. In terms of physical size, the ring is about 440 light-years across, which may not seem like that much compared to the size of the entire Milky Way, but given that the center of the ring is 939 light-years or 288 parsecs away, it ends up looking quite large in the Earth's sky. However, the Monogem Ring primarily emits X-ray emission, so if you go outside at night trying to look for it, you won't see it. Professional astronomers working at professional observatories who have carefully imaged this area of the sky have seen hints of emission from the ring in the visible part of the electromagnetic spectrum, but it's been very hard to detect. The ring, which again just to emphasize is actually the outer boundaries of a sphere, remained undetected until the development of X-ray astronomy in the second half of the 20th century. The object was discovered in 1969 by a group led by Alan Bunner, who flew X-ray detectors on a suborbital rocket, or a rocket that got above the Earth's atmosphere but that did not reach orbit. However, the detectors were unable to really determine the shape of the Monogem Ring. They could only see a big bright patch of X-ray emission in the direction of Gemini and Monoceros. It wasn't until the launch of X-ray telescopes into space in the late 1970s that astronomers could actually see the ring structure in this supernova remnant. The Monogem Ring is not a perfectly smooth ring, but instead made up of a bunch of filamentary arc-like structures and clumpy parts. The ring also seems to produce more X-ray emission from one side than the other. This X-ray emission comes from where the gas in the expanding supernova remnant is colliding with the surrounding interstellar medium. The reason why the ring looks asymmetric is probably because the expanding gas is colliding with interstellar gas with different densities. The star that produced this supernova would have originally been a very big blue star that initially fused hydrogen into helium in its core. But when the core filled up with helium, it would have fused the helium into carbon and oxygen and then fused those elements into heavier elements until the core filled up with iron, which cannot be fused to produce energy. The star's outer gas layers would have collapsed inwards onto the iron core, and then the rebound shock would have produced the supernova. The explosion forming the Monogem Ring took place somewhere around 86,000 years ago, although the estimates are a little uncertain. As best as I can tell, it would have been not only brighter than any star in the Earth's sky, but also brighter than the full moon. However, it took place so long ago that no historical record is likely to exist, even in the form of Cro-Magnon cave art. Fortunately, it's been possible to identify the leftover core from the star that exploded. The object is the pulsar PSR B0656+14, where the PSR stands for pulsar and the B followed by all of the numbers give the coordinates of this object in the out-of-date 1950 coordinate system. It's not the best naming system, but it's what pulsar astronomers use. Pulsars are rapidly rotating neutron stars, and neutron stars are basically objects so dense and with such high gravitational forces that the protons and electrons in the atoms that were in the original stellar core got squeezed together to form neutrons. So the star basically consists of a giant ball of neutrons. These stars can produce radio emission from their magnetic poles when they rotate, which is why they're called pulsars. The pulsar PSR B0656+14 was discovered in 1977 by the Second Molonglo Pulsar Survey, which was conducted by the Molonglo Radio Observatory in Australia. The survey discovered a total of 155 pulsars, which doubled the number of known pulsars at the time. PSR B0656+14 rotates about 2.6 times a second. The mass and size of the pulsar is not entirely known, but its mass is probably somewhere around 1.4 times the mass of the Sun, and the diameter is probably around 26 kilometers, or slightly larger than the size of the island of Manhattan. By the way, it's normal in astronomy to compare neutron stars to Manhattan. No one would ever compare a neutron star to, for example, the diameter of the city limits of Rome, or the diameter of the S50 ring road around Beijing, all of which are very close to the same size. Anyhow, once the monogem ring was imaged in X-ray emission in the early 1980s, it was natural to associate it with the pulsar PSR B0656+14. The pulsar sat in roughly the center of the ring, and as best as astronomers could determine, both the ring and the pulsar had about the same ages. However, some initial distance measurements to the pulsar seem to indicate that it was more than twice as far away as the ring, and initial measurements of the motion of the star relative to the ring seem to indicate that they were inconsistent. In the early 2000s, astronomers were able to more accurately measure the distance to the pulsar by using the Very Long Baseline Array to make really high-resolution images of the object, and they were able to conclusively associate the pulsar with the ring. Since then, PSR B0656+14 has continued to be a popular target for astronomers to study because it is definitely known to be a, quote, middle-aged, unquote, pulsar, and because it's also a very close one. One of the final things that can be said about the monogem ring is that it is a major source of cosmic rays. If you aren't familiar with cosmic rays, they gave the Fantastic Four their superpowers. Also, they are subatomic particles such as electrons and protons that are moving at nearly the speed of light, and as you would imagine, any supernova explosion is naturally going to be a source of such high-speed subatomic particles. The monogem ring is not the only source of cosmic rays reaching Earth, but it does seem to be one of the strongest sources of high-energy cosmic rays in our solar system's neighborhood. So that concludes my summary of the monogem ring and the pulsar PSR B0656+14, and the location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of the monogem ring in the sky covers virtually all of Southeast Asia, including all of Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. However, the pulsar at the center of the ring corresponds to an agricultural area just north of Chom Ksant, which is a city of about 6,800 people located in the very north of Cambodia, just south of the border with Thailand, and also close to where both countries' borders meet the borders of Laos. The Wat Twal Andet, which is a Buddhist temple, might be the most interesting individual building in this town. The current building dates to 1955. But apparently, older temples may have previously occupied this site. The photos online show that this is a highly decorated temple with lots of colorful pictures of Buddha and other religious pictures painted both on the exterior and in the interior of the building. On the off chance that you travel through the area, it may be worth stopping to take a look. The website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com. You can visit the website to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy at www.sasha-endy.de, and the sound effects are from the Freesound Project at www.freesound.org. Thanks for listening.